Thank you, Mr. Woodhouse. Good morning, all. I trust you're all well this morning. Nice to see you all here. We've been traveling through the wilderness the past 3 mornings. We started with the way to the wilderness by redemption, by blood, and by power. And we thought of the Passover. And then we thought of some of the problems of the wilderness. We thought of water in the wilderness. And we thought of manna in the wilderness, God's wonderful provision. Today we're coming to the end of the wilderness. Indeed, we passed through the wilderness, and we're going to look back, and we're going to think of some memories of the wilderness. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to look at chapter 8 of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8. At the time of the book of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel have gone through the wilderness. They're now on the edge of the River Jordan, just at the top end of the Dead Sea, and they're looking right across to the Promised Land. In a little while, they're about to cross over. They've reached the last year of their wilderness journey. This is the 40th year. And the book of Deuteronomy really consists of a number of discourses or messages from Moses, the servant of the Lord, and it ends, of course, with the death of Moses. We are going to be reading a little bit of the second discourse of Moses in this book, and we're going to read the whole chapter. As we read this chapter, we're going to think of memory. And the words that remind us of memory are remember and forget. As we read this chapter, you look out for these words, remember, forget. Verse 1 says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou art eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, and the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his good book. Let's bow together and ask his guidance. O God, our Father, we thank thee for another chapter from thy holy word. How many lessons there are in this chapter. We thank thee for every one of them. Help us to learn them and to obey them today. Grant thy blessing upon us as thy Spirit leads us in this chapter, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. How's your memory? If it's anything like mine, it's tending to become a forgettery rather than a memory. The little girl, or was it the little boy, was asked, what is memory? And she or he answered, well, it's the thing we forget with. And as we grow older in life, it becomes more and more like that. Just last week, I pulled out of my files in preparing for this message an article, an editorial from the British Medical Journal of September 1981. I was arrested by the title. It said, Old Men Forget. Now, when I put that away 10 years ago, it didn't concern me too much. But 10 years have passed, and I'm in that category. Some of you may be too, I don't know. Old men forget. The opening sentences of this article said, why do old men and women forget? Equally interesting, why do many of them so vividly remember past events? Forgetting and remembering are two sides of the same process. The article went on to say that in spite of enormous amounts of research that has been going on into the memory, few people have current knowledge to understand memory properly. Now, there's been a lot more research gone into this memory. I understand that some of the hospitals in Toronto are specially concerned with studying memory, but they don't know a great deal about it yet. Memory is a very wonderful thing. Imagine what it would be like without any memory. Included in my files on memory, there's the record of Mr. M. Mr. M had brain surgery in the 1950s with disastrous consequences. He lost his memory. A neurologist wrote out about him, a neurology professor in Montreal, described his condition in the 1950s. And the last report that I have was in 1979, and it says like this. He remembers nothing. He can read the same magazine again and again without becoming bored. He laughs at the same jokes. He struggles with the same jigsaw puzzle. His father died some years ago, yet he's grief-stricken every time he hears of it. He can still recollect events before his surgery, but very little after. You can visit him 10 times, or 100 times, but every time you visit him, you're a stranger. That's a terrible situation, isn't it? But you know, this man has some memory. Not only can he remember things a way back, but he can read. And you know, if you had no memory, you wouldn't remember that A was A, and B was B, and that A and D spelt and. You wouldn't be able to read at all. Let's thank God for our memory. What a wonderful thing memory is. Every one of us has some of that. However little it may be, every one of us has memory. Let's rejoice in it. And let's use it. God wants us to use it. In fact, God sometimes gives us aids to memory. On Lord's Day morning, many of us here gather together around bread and wine. Why did we do that? We did that to remember. That was an aid to memory. Memory is very valuable and very vital. It's one of God's greatest gifts. One of the great themes of the book of Deuteronomy is memory. As a matter of fact, there are two basic themes. First of all, God calls them, his people, through Moses, to recollect. Recollection of the past. And then he calls them to resolve. Resolution for the future. He looks back, and he looks forward, and they're right in the middle. They've come through the wilderness. They're about to go into the promised land. And God calls his people to retrospect and to prospect. Two of the key words in the book of Deuteronomy are the two words that I emphasize, remember and forget. In fact, I would say that Deuteronomy is the preeminent Bible book on the subject of memory. The word remember occurs more times in Deuteronomy than in any other book in the Bible except the book of Psalms. It occurs some 3.5 times more in the book of Psalms than it occurs in the book of Deuteronomy, but then the book of Psalms has 4.5 times the number of chapters. The word forget occurs more times in Deuteronomy than in any other book in the Bible except the book of Psalms. And you know, every time these two words, or nearly every time these two words occur in the book of Deuteronomy, they are there as commandments and as warnings. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Don't forget, beware that thou forget not, lest thou forget. That's true of the book of Deuteronomy. I want to go through these five occurrences of remember and forget with you, and then we'll try to study them individually, briefly. Let's look at the occurrences. Look, for instance, at verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee. We are called to remember the way God leads. Now look at verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. Here they are called not to forget the word God speaks. Look at verse 14. That thine heart be lifted up, and that thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth, who led thee through, verse 15, who fed thee in, verse 16. They've not to forget, they've to remember the works God does. Look at verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. They should remember the wealth that God provides. And verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. They have to remember the warning that God gives. And as we look through this chapter, we should too remember the way God leads. We should remember the word God speaks. We should remember the works God does. We should remember the wealth God provides. And we should remember the warning that God gives. Let's begin at the beginning. Let's think first of all of the way God leads. Thou shalt remember all the way which thy God led thee. All the way. And you and I can look back on our lives, and most of us can look back on 40, 50, 60 or more years. And it's all the way that God led thee. And our way has been something like the children of Israel. As we've said so often these days, this world is a wilderness wide. We are going through a wilderness too. And we should remember all the way. Well, what were they to remember? Well, I'm going to suggest to you three things they were to remember. First of all, they were to remember the problems of the way. The problems of the way. Let's notice some of these problems. First of all, there was the duration. The duration. Notice what Moses said. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. How would you like to have been 40 years in the desert? 40 years in the wilderness. It's a long time. They didn't expect it to be so long. They thought it might be a few weeks or a few months, but 40 years. It could have been much shorter, but for their disobedience. at Kadesh Barnea and their complaints. And it was another 38 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now I'm speaking to most of you around about my age, maybe a little less or a little more. Has it been a long journey? Has it been a long time? Are you a little tired of this journey? Some of us are longing to be home in heaven. And I'm sure they were longing to be home. It was still a battle to be fought before they got home. But some of us are longing to be home. We think of the duration of the way. And then secondly, let us notice the difficulties of the way. Oh, if it had been a picnic all the way, it would have been all right to be 40 years on a picnic. But it was no picnic. Notice how the writer or how the prophet, the Moses, the servant of the Lord, described the way. Let's look at verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. The word terrible could be translated dreadful. Terrible tells us that it had terrors. Dreadful tells us that it had dreads. The dread of the wilderness. That terrible wilderness. Why was it terrible? Well, said the writer, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions. There were other things, as we'll see and as we have been seeing, fiery serpents and scorpions. And you know, as we travel through this wilderness, we've had a serpent. He is that old serpent, the devil. He's very strong in this wilderness. And it's a dreadful wilderness because Satan is busy in this wilderness. And we know something about him and about the way he's tried to attack us, as these serpents did in the wilderness. And so there were the difficulties in the wilderness, but more than that, there was deprivation in the wilderness. Look at verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. They hungered. And we're told also in verse 15, there was no water. We've been thinking about that in the last 2 days. And my friend, that's like the wilderness of this world, as we've been noticing. We travel through a wilderness in this world where there is nothing that genuinely satisfies the hungry soul of every Christian. You'll not find satisfaction in the world around us. Oh, you'll find satisfaction here in the Park of the Palms because there's Christian fellowship here. The Lord is here and our satisfaction is in Him and His Word and His people. There's plenty to satisfy us here, but in the world, there's nothing that really satisfies the Christian. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled, and mocked me as I will. Now none but Christ can satisfy. And we've discovered that the wilderness is a place of deprivation, of no satisfaction. There's one other thing about the wilderness that I'm sure we've all experienced. Not only the duration, and not only the difficulties, and not only the deprivation, but the discipline in the wilderness. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth, trains, disciplines his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. He disciplines us. And I'm sure every one of us looks back on the wilderness journey thus far, and we can remember some points when he was disciplining us. And the Bible tells us that no discipline, no chastening, for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Sometimes discipline is painful. But we have learned that discipline is for our good, not for God's pleasure. That's sometimes how our parents disciplined us, for their own pleasure. But God's discipline is for our good. But we've experienced the discipline. Sometimes it's not pleasant. So there are the problems of the way. But I'm thankful there's more to the way than the problem. The second thing we notice is provision on the way. In spite of all the problems of the way, they had abundant provision. What was that provision? Well, let's notice what it was. Verse 2 says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. There was the first provision, guidance. Guidance. You know, a wilderness, I imagine I've never really been in a wilderness or a desert, but I imagine a wilderness is a place where it's hard to find a way. There are no signposts that tell this is the way to Egypt, this is the way to Canaan. There are no evidences of roads or pathways that you can take to get to a certain end. And if there were, you wouldn't know which pathway to take because you wouldn't know where it led. The wilderness is a place where it's difficult to find a way. Isn't that like the world in which we live? How do we know the way? The Lord led thee. And every one of us, I'm sure, can testify that he leads us. He leads us, guides us with his eye upon us. And one day when we get to the end of the journey, we'll say, Jesus led me all the way through all the wilderness, all the way my Savior leads me. What can I ask beside? He leads us, and he's led us all the way. We have his guidance. And you know, our leader who leads us through the wilderness is one who knows the way. How does he know the way? Well, he knows the way because he's omniscient. But he knows the way supremely because he's been the way. He's been through it. He knows all about it. He knows what it was to be hungry. Why, he was in the wilderness, literally, when he was afterwards unhungered. He knows what it was to be thirsty. He thirsted at Sychar's well, and he sat on the well side, and he was thirsty. And on the cross of Calvary, he said, I thirst. He knows about that. Does he know anything about the serpents and the way and the wilderness? Why, of course he does. For it was in the very wilderness that Satan, that old serpent, came and confronted him. He knows about the serpent. He knows all about our troubles and all about our sorrows. In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief and to the sufferer. Sends relief. Jesus knows all about our sorrows. He will guide till the day is done. Thank God the one who is our leader is one who knows the way by personal experience. Well, that's the first thing, the first provision for the way. He led thee. Who was it who led them? Oh, you say Moses led them. No, it wasn't Moses. Moses was the, we call their leader. But it was Moses' God. The Lord thy God led thee. He led thee all the way. And then secondly, we want to notice in verse 3, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee. He not only led them, but he fed them. Not only did they have the provision of guidance, but they had the provision of sustenance. We were thinking about that just yesterday, about the manna that was there so frequently, so regularly, 6 days a week and enough on the sixth to do for the seventh. And it was God who made that provision. Is God the same today as he was then? He is. He makes provision for our physical needs, our natural needs, but above all, he makes provision with the heavenly manna, the living word and the written word for our eternal need. And he not only leads us, but he feeds us. He gives maintenance, sustenance on the way. And we talked about the manna yesterday. But he not only gives guidance, and he not only gives sustenance, but let's notice what he gives in verse 4. Verse 4 says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. He not only gives guidance and sustenance, but he gives maintenance. Isn't that a miracle of divine preservation? That during all these years of walking through the wilderness, their feet never swelled. Why, our feet swell with much less walking, don't they? Their feet never swelled. During these years of traveling through the wilderness, they didn't need to buy new clothes. I can't understand that, but that's what we're told. Your clothes didn't grow old. Mine grow old, and I guess yours did, but they don't grow old. And you know, the Lord that sustained them physically and maintained them physically is the one who maintains us spiritually. Through the wilderness, there is ample provision that God makes for guidance, for sustenance, and for maintenance. There's something else about the way, not only the problems and the provision, but the purpose of the way. You see, God could have taken them a much closer way, rather than a detour. And God could have made provision for them in other ways without them being hungry and thirsty at all. But God had a purpose in all that he did. And we can be sure that just as he had a purpose in every little detail of the lives of the children of Israel in the wilderness, so he has a purpose in every little detail of our lives. We don't discern that purpose as we're in this world so often. We wonder why. And we ask complainingly, why, O God, are you allowing this problem? But God has a purpose. And we're told something about that purpose in these verses. Well, we want to think of three purposes that God had for them and that he has for us. Let's look at verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. God's first purpose was to test. We've been thinking of that in the past 2 days. God has a purpose for every one of us to test us, to prove what's in our heart, to test us. And sometimes God's tests are difficult. As we've seen, the higher we get in God's school, the harder are the tests that God gives. Abraham reached the highest class and he got the hardest test. He had to take his own son and offer him on Mount Moriah. You know, even Moses failed in a test. He failed in a test. And he failed in a test on his strongest and best subject. What was Moses' best subject? Well, we're told that Moses was the meekest man on earth. And yet Moses lost his temper and he smote the rock. And because he failed in his test, he didn't get into the land of promise. I trust you're passing your tests. God doesn't test us more than our ability to bear it. But he does test us. And we can learn some lessons from these testings. Notice secondly, God didn't only purpose to test them, but he purposed to teach them. Look at verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. They had to learn a lesson. They had to be taught. And in all the circumstances that God causes us to pass through, we have lessons to learn. They were to be taught. We thought of this lesson yesterday, and I'm just going to mention it today. They were to learn this lesson, that the important things in life weren't the physical and the material. That man doesn't live by bread only, but the important thing is the spiritual, the immaterial. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. That's the lesson he's teaching us day by day. We're so slow to learn it. That the important things are the eternal and the spiritual and the things of the Word of God. Let's lean firmly and learn the Word of God. But not only did God have a lesson to test them and to teach them, but as we've already been seeing this morning, he purposed to train them. To train them. That's why we read in verse 5, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth. That means to discipline, to train thee. And you know, all the way that he leads us, he has that purpose. He's training us. What's he training us for? He's fitting us for heaven. Oh, we're fit for heaven on the basis of the blood of Christ, but he's training us day by day so that we'll be more comfortable in heaven and we'll enjoy it to the full. He's training us, and he's also fitting us for earth. For these training sessions, these chastenings, these disciplines are to train us to serve him better in earth. God is training us day by day. So much then for the way. We'll need to hurry on. Come to the second point, the word God speaks. We read that in verse 11. Beware that thou forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. You'll notice a similar statement in verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. In fact, throughout this book, that occurs frequently. But let's notice what verse 6 says. Therefore, why? Well, Moses has been drawing their attention to the past. And in view of all that we've been considering, in view of their past, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. But you'll notice verse 7 begins with the word for. Now therefore takes us back to the past. For takes us on to the future. For thou, Lord thy God, bringeth thee into a good land. So this command is based upon the past, and it's also based upon the future, what was going to happen. Let's think in the future. Let's think, first of all, of the prospect for the future. The prospect for the future. We read that in verses 7, 8, and 9. And we read some things about the prospect for the future. The Lord was going to bring them into a good land. And there was refreshment in that land. Notice verse 7. A good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. They'd never known anything like that in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, although they had water in Egypt, they'd never known anything like that in Egypt. They had to do their own irrigation in Egypt from the water of the Nile. But this water came from brooks and fountains, and it came from heaven above, as we read in the 11th chapter. God's refreshment comes from above. And he is the same today. He provides us with refreshment. As we walk through this life, we're in that already. He refreshes us. We're in the promised land. Oh, I know we think of the promised land as when we get to heaven. But really, we're enjoying the heavenly blessings here and now. We're in the promised land, and God says, go in and possess them. And included in that is refreshment that we receive from heaven itself. But there's more than refreshment. Look at the nourishment of verse 8 and 9. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and oil, olive and honey and bread. Things to make your teeth water and make you hungry to get them. Well, that's what God provides in the land. We don't need to wait till we get to heaven to get these things. We can get that nourishment here on earth. It's all in the pages of the Word of God. We can find it here in his book. The Lord satisfies our mouth with good things. It's wonderful the provision he makes for us. Even here on earth, there's nourishment. But there's something else. There's refreshment, and there's nourishment. And thirdly, there's employment. Employment. Look at verse 9. The end of the verse, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Employment. My friends, it's good employment for every one of us as we dig the good things out of God's Word. But you've got to get busy at it. You can't be spoon-fed all the time. It's good to come for a conference occasionally and be fed. But we have to dig to get the things, the precious things, out of the Word of God. Dig. God has provided employment for us. And so, in the wilderness, as we go into the future, there is a prospect for the future. There's also perils for the future. Perils in the future. Said God, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. I'm sure Mr. Woodhouse will remember in the dining hall in the conference at Bible conference grounds, after you eat or while you're eating, there's a sign just above the door as you go out of the dining hall. It says something like this, when thou dost eat, hast eaten and art full, beware that thou forget not. Some of us have eaten and are full here. Plenty of supplies here at Park of the Palms. Therefore, beware that thou forget not. That's a peril for the future. The danger of forgetting and the things that the Lord has given to us. Forget not the Lord thy God, the perils of the future. And then finally, there are precepts for the future. Let's notice what these precepts are. Verse 1, you shall observe to do these commandments. Verse 11, in not keeping his commandments. These are some of the key words of the book of Deuteronomy. That's a precept not only for them, but it's also for us. Time is gone. I'm going to leave you to look into the works that God has done. Notice that he brought thee out. He led thee through. He fed thee in. God's works. And the wealth that God provides. And the warning that God gives. I trust the Lord will fix these great truths upon our hearts and minds and our souls today as we go forth to live for him and serve him. And may the Lord bless you. Whatever you're doing today, whether you're shopping, or whether you're resting, or whether you're shuffling, I trust the Lord will bless you all. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Father, we bow in thy presence and commit ourselves to thee for the day. We thank thee for the word of God that we've been reading together. There's so much in it. help us to appreciate it, to do it, to observe it, to keep it, to live by it, to walk in it. Grant us thy blessing, we do pray. Lead us and guide us. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus.